This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet where we talk about House of the Dragon, House of the Dragon, House of the Dragon. It's a Game of Thrones prequel show from HBO in the near future. And they released a trailer last week, but it was on Thursday, a day after the show airs. So we didn't talk about it. We're going to talk about it right now. I am Dan Selke, the editor of WinnersComing.net. Helix Daniel Roman, the other editor of WinnersComing.net. And Daniel Roman, how did your House of the Dragon go? How is the weather in House of the Dragon? And how are you, House of the Dragon, today?
I am House of the Dragoning well. The weather in House of the Dragon is rather dragony. And the mood here at the moment is, in fact, House of the Dragon. So it's a good Wednesday, I'd say.
That is so House of the Dragon with you. But yeah, HBO released this new trailer for the Game of Thrones prequel show. Obviously, we care about it a lot. Obviously, we're geeking out about it. And we're going to take this opportunity to go through it in exhaustive detail, not frame by frame, but like every other frame by every other frame, maybe. So yeah. What do you say? And if any of you watching out there are interested, have comments, queries, questions, anything like that, sound off. Let us know. We want your opinions, your thoughts, your views, and your queries. So Daniel, should we start this up and just get to it, or should we banter some more?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should just start it up and get into it. I mean, if you're here watching, you know what you're here for. And if you have questions as we break this down about anything you see, anything we say, drop them in the chat. So yeah, I mean, Dan, what else could there be to do on a day like this with House of the Dragon? I think we need to just get to it.
It's all we're going to do. Yeah, hit it.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, this show. All right. We're off. That HBO logo is made of Valyrian steel, apparently. I didn't really realize that.
Ooh.
So, okay.
Okay.
Which, I don't know how they knew that. It's like, yeah, but no, it's not. It's a flat, two-dimensional image. Could you tell? But apparently it is.
Yeah.
This show about two rival factions of the Targaryen family around 200 years before the story we know, fighting each other for the Iron Throne. Daniel, who is this woman?
Yes. Yeah, so this is Rhaenyra Targaryen. Think of her as the Daenerys of this show. The Dance of the Dragons kind of revolves around two factions, the Greens and the Blacks, who are vying for the throne. And Rhaenyra is the head of the Blacks, the heir apparent to the throne. And yeah, we're going to be spending a lot of time with her. Are you excited to get to see her a little more in this show? What do you think?
Of course.
What are your thoughts on this character?
I mean, okay, so this show is based on the book, the novel, the fake history book, Fire and Blood by George R.R. Martin. And yeah. Rhaenyra is sort of she's not the main character, but she is the first among equals, maybe, about characters.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good way to put it.
She's important. She is the eldest child and heir of King Viserys Targaryen, and she is pretty damn sure she's going to ascend the throne. So when he dies, which he dies, spoiler alert, but not really, because it's the whole crux of the story, it's kind of her and then her half-brother who gets it. I mean, she drives it, right? She is the person whose will most turns this wheel of this story and makes it go. Incredibly important to get her right. I mean, you're going to need to have someone who's textured, layered, interesting, has the right look, has the right mood. And they have two actors to do it, young and old. So they are, not putting all their eggs in one basket. What if one's really great and one's terrible?
I mean, that would be a twist, right? I that would be rough. That would be rough. Because like you said, not the main character, but like the first among equals. We're going to spend a lot of time with her. I think it's interesting that we have not yet heard her speak.
We haven't
gotten more than just like a fleeting glimpse at like basically like this shot. We've had these shots of Rhaenyra a couple times where she's staring thoughtfully out into the distance. Presumably she's on Dragonstone here or maybe Driftmark. So yeah, if one of them's bad, I don't want to say it, but hopefully I assume we'll spend less time with the younger Rhaenyra, but I'm sure they're both going to be. That's what we're going to go with here.
Diane Newman over on YouTube. We can't wait for it either. And we're going to talk a whole lot about it today.
Yeah. All right. Shall we? Shall we meander to the next shot?
Next second and a half. Ooh, pretty landscapes. Can't be helicopters and drones out of water, right? Can't beat it.
Yeah. So we're going to pause here just for a sec, because I didn't notice this when we were looking at this earlier, but there's a castle in this shot way up there and at the very top middle. So I don't know if this is a zoom into Dragonstone or Driftmark. Just wanted to point that out.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, why are you panning over useless rocks in the ocean? No reason. They got to be going somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Driftmark, let's carry on to the next.
Let's do it. Oh, so pretty. Oh, and then we have Mr. Matt Smith and we have Mr. Riz Ifans. Matt Smith, obviously the biggest name involved in this, but not that big. It's going to overpower things. Richard, could you rewind to the blonde man with the egg? Rewind to when Doctor Who is holding an egg in front of a dragon. So that's definitely Dragonstone, right?
Oh, yeah. This is Dragonstone for sure. The castle looks, I don't want to say exactly the same, but it looks like the same castle that we saw in Game of Thrones with those angular kind of edges jutting out the sides.
Oh, 100%. We have two of our other big players. We got, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this particular scene that we can talk about in a sec after we introduce the players. This is definitely Dragonstone. It's after Matt Smith has had a spat with his brother. He went back there and had more spats.
I wonder how long until we don't call him Matt Smith, because he plays a character named Daemon Targaryen, who is the king's younger, more violent, more passionate brother, who apparently is so ambitious that this gentleman, Otto Hightower, wants him nowhere near the throne, so puts into place various plans to exile him, including shaming him for producing a love child with his mistress, Mysaria, played by an actress whose name escapes my mind at the moment, who's behind him in the last shot.
Yeah, so this causes all sorts of issues. The actress for Mysaria is Sonoyo Mizuno. Mysaria is a whore in King's Landing. She's from Lys. And basically, Daemon is married to one of the Arryns at this point, and he hates her. He just doesn't like being married. Unhappily married, asks Viserys to set the marriage aside. King Viserys says no. So Daemon shacks up with Mysaria, and after they have a spat, he takes her to Dragonstone and gets her pregnant. He gives her a dragon egg he gives their child a dragon egg because that's what Targaryens do when they have babies on the way. And Viserys loses it. He gets real mad and apparently sends Otto to get it back. So this is going to be a sticky moment. I love the armor on the Kingsguard here too. It's like a different era, the armor in this show.
You know, sometimes in these medieval shows, the designers go like just pop off and make the weirdest looking armor designs, because I think like medieval times has sort of like a direct link to the imagination of like a designer, and they want to just like put all of their ideas up on the screen. I'm thinking of like those kind of like trash bag couture from The Witcher of the Nilfgaardian soldiers at one time. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, they're bad.
I just hope it doesn't get out of control, because this stuff does have to be like used and lived in everything. But yes, this looks cool.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like in Game of Thrones towards the end, like Cersei and Daenerys are wearing the coolest stuff that would never in a billion years have been worn in like medieval times. It looked great, but it was just really over elaborate. But I did love it. So I'm of two minds about it. But for right now, yes, it looks good.
And this, they kind of have a tricky challenge with this show too, because this is a period of time like 200 years before Game of Thrones. So like, how are they going to make the fashion look different? How's the armor going to look different?
Yeah.
We'll get those answers as it goes on, hopefully.
As we go on, people, I want to know your opinions if you're out there commenting. What do you think of Matt Smith as Daemon Targaryen with his blonde ass wig and his smirk and his dragon egg? Are we buying it? Are we buying Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor, I think, as Targaryen? Yes. Sound off. Okay, continue.
Yeah, let's carry on.
HBO Original Series. It's this?
Yep.
We got King's Landing.
Dragon. Oh,
it is kind of nice to see King's Landing again, isn't it? It's just sort of nostalgic.
Yeah, and to see a dragon that's flying over it that it's not going to burn it to a crisp. That's nice.
Oh, no,
we don't know that. But we can maybe assume it's still around. So this dragon
could be Cyrax. coming in when Rhaenyra retakes. Yes. But actually, I guess it could, but whatever. Go on.
I was just going to say it is Syrax. From what I've been able to see online, from the color of this dragon, this appears to be Syrax and Rhaenyra. She's been a dragon rider since she was like 7. So she does an awful lot of dragon riding. Yeah. And let's just note the tail has this cool little design here. We're going to see lots of different looking dragons in this show, which is exciting.
That is really fun. People, there are like dozens of, like we had 3 on Game of Thrones, the 3 we all knew. There are dozens here. They're everywhere. This is when they all die off. This is, like this story is why there are none when Game of Thrones starts. And yeah, oh God,
Pretty much.
If I was a designer, can you imagine? There must be some lucky son of a bitch or just like some lucky person out there that designed the dragons for this show. It must just been like nerd nirvana. Like you get to get paid money to just make different sorts of dragons. This one's like going to be this wingspan. It'll be this color. It's going to be this kind of tail. Oh God. So many Funkos. So many different Funkos they can do with this.
I'm sure
the merchandising opportunities from all the different dragons will be worth the extra investment in this episode. Under $20 million cost per episode, Daniel. Isn't that great and affordable?
Under $20 million, and they got the dragons to look different. So kudos you, HBO. Doing it on the cheap.
People, just side note, there was like this weird, I think it was Entertainment Weekly. It might not have been. I shouldn't besmirch them. This weird article where they like interviewed someone from House of the Dragon and said how it only cost them under $20 million. And it still boggles my mind that they're trying to pass this ridiculously enormous sum off as some kind of bargain.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're trying to pull on us, but this is an expensive show. But if they can Funko-wise every one of the dozens of dragons, it might just make it worth it.
Yeah, they can recoup the $20 million in Funkos. All right, let's carry on here.
Pretty. Oh, got the All iron. Right. Got the good old Iron Throne room.
Yeah,
we have King Viserys Targaryen, Paddy Considine. Yep. Good name, first and last.
Yep.
Of course, we got the Iron Throne.
What do you think of the throne, Dan?
I understand that they couldn't just make a whole new chair. If they wanted to stay consistent, I think that's what I would have done. But I like it. I like the idea of it. So the idea is that they have the same central Iron Throne from the show. But 200 years ago, there's all these other swords kind of planted around it because it's supposed to be made out of like 1,000 swords or whatever. It's a cool idea. It does look a little... I wish it was all one... I want it to be one piece. I don't love like just sort of the swords, like they aren't really part of the chair. There's kind of on talk about design. It's all about design. There's kind of like around it. And I don't love that, but I know what they're trying to do. It's cool. It is dangerous. Don't slip or you're going to cut yourself.
Yeah. Which is a thing. So it's funny. You say don't cut yourself. So we're going to avoid like long game spoilers here, but like, we're going to talk about the people we see in the trailer and like people, whether they cut themselves or not on the throne is definitely a thing that means something in terms of a king's worthiness. So that will be relevant. I like the design. It's definitely not. I never imagined we would see the Iron Throne looking this way on television. It does feel kind of like a half measure between, you know, getting a throne that's closer to George R. R. Martin's original vision, which is this monstrous thing with lots of steps you have to climb up. So I like that they tried to make it look more dangerous and edgy and all that stuff. The main thing that I really hope they address is where all those swords went by the original series. Like, I hope they're not just and then time passed. Like, they got to show what happens to these swords. I'm a little nervous they won't, because we've still got like hundreds of years more Targaryen rule after this show ends. But we'll see.
I mean, to figure at some point, some like important dignitary has to slip and kill himself on a sword. And they're like, this has got to stop. We can't keep having these people just like get a little too drunk, stumble around and die. Like it's not good for international relations, but maybe we'll see. I like it. It's a cool idea. I wish they weren't so hamstrung by the demands of the oysters. They couldn't, because when Game of Thrones came on, they didn't know it was going to be that big. They literally didn't have, they weren't doing under 20. I'm never gonna let this go. They were didn't have under $20 million of budget for Game of Thrones. So they couldn't build like a giant, awesome bajillion swords, huge throne. Yeah. So they like, the Iron Throne that we had was a, for the time, pretty large budget series. Like it was like 6 months. It was like big for the time. That's what it produced.
Yeah.
If they made Game of Thrones with under $20 million now, that throne would fill the whole room, but we That's have this true. Kind of cool. I like it. I like it. Nicole, what do you think of the new Iron Throne? I'd be interested to hear other folk and hello.
Yeah.
But okay. Is that enough talk about the throne? Should we keep going?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Viserys for a minute. So he is basically like the Robert Baratheon of this show. He just wants everyone to get along.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize this. I researched a bunch before this show to make sure we had all the tidbits from Fire and Blood. I did. He's the last person who rode Beleriand the Black Dread before Beleriand died.
I didn't realize that.
And then after that, Viserys never rides another dragon. So we're not going to see him ride any dragons probably in this show. But here he is calling all the lords of Westeros to swear fealty to Rhaenyra. Maybe we should kick it to the next scene. See what little Rhaenyra, how she feels about these proceedings.
Oh, she looks royal. Oh, here she goes. Turn around. Oh, serve it. Give it.
Boom.
Yes. Live it. Love it.
Yeah.
That's great. This is Miley Alcock, I believe, is the actress playing younger Rhaenyra. It made a bit of a spin because her necklace is apparently like the links are the different sigils of the houses, like the Baratheon.
Yeah, that's a cool catch.
And maybe the Greyjoy squid. That's a cool thing. God, I do. The casting looks on point. She looks like, and again, like you want Rhaenyra to have a lot of gravity, right? You want her to be someone who you're excited to see what she does next. And this actress does seem to hold herself in a way where it's like, I'm scared of you. Like, I want to watch you, what you do. So I'm into it. I think she's doing a good job based on these wordless looks. You gotta be able to give looks in this show. A lot of Game of Thrones is like, you know, just like the kind of soap opera glances from across the room to other people as like gears start to turn in their heads. And I think she gives good.
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah. I think her discerning, you know, faraway gaze is good. I'm excited to see more of her, but it's interesting. I feel like the timeline with this show is interesting because we had that shot with Daemon and the egg earlier. Now we're seeing this where she's going to get named the successor, which is partially to keep Daemon lower on the chain of succession or the line of succession. So yeah, I feel like we're going to get more scenes in the past than I thought we would.
Yeah. They're going back there. And again, I'm not sure. We still don't know if it's going to be like chronological, like we'll start in the distant past, just work our way slowly up, or we'll flash back a lot every episode. I don't know. We're going to see. Great comment from Nicole, though.
Yep.
This is such a key point. Nicole says, I am hoping that all the new characters are as compelling as likable as Jon Snow and Dany. I'll even take some conniving villains like Littlefinger. And Nicole, there's definitely the potential to do that.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely some great... Some characters who are set out and really kind of sketched in an interesting way. They have to do more work to fill them in, though. And it's possible because these characters do stuff fully as interesting and compelling as anything on Game of Thrones. But the details need to be filled in. And that's what I'm hoping the writers will be able to do.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of, that's a great segue to our next shot, which is going to be, let's transition to that. It's going to be one of the characters. It's Daemon with the gold cloaks. So speaking of compelling characters, I agree with you. I think they kind of have their work cut out for them because like there's a reason George R. R. Martin chose to write A Song of Ice and Fire as these huge novels because those characters are really compelling and those events are. He didn't write an as in-depth of a novel for Fire and Blood. So it is kind of like they have more room to flesh things out, but the challenge to make the characters as good, I think, is also there. I feel like Daemon, he's going to be a fan favorite, I think. And yeah, here he is basically making the gold cloaks. The City Watch was disorganized. Daemon basically got given the job because Otto Hightower convinced Viserys to kick him out of his last two jobs, which were like master of coin and I think like master of ships. He got bored. And Otto said, we need someone to do a better job. Give your brother, Daemon, something, please. And it backfired because now he has like 2,000 people who are loyal to him. And he has like an iron rule in the streets. He cleaned up the streets really brutally.
Yes.
Yeah. It's what are your thoughts here?
It's like if it's like Commissioner Gordon put like did a coup on the mayor of Gotham City and became the new ruler. That's switch me with Damon here. I never really understood why people say that Damon would be a fan favorite. He's a dick. Like, he's like angry and violent and he sleeps around. He's like too ambitious. He's overly interested in his niece. Honestly, I never really got the Damon fervor.
Agree there.
But part of Game of Thrones is making these vile characters seem interesting. So I loved Jaime Lannister. Maybe they can do the same thing. But Damon is not nearly as noble as Jaime Lannister, though. So I'm definitely curious, though. And again, interesting that they got like a big name. Well, a name actor to play him, whereas other characters, not so much. I'm curious to see what they do with him. But I don't know. I wouldn't call Damon a fan favorite, at least not this fan's favorite.
That's fair. I think, you know, when we talk about like gray characters that are going to do badass stuff, like Damon is like one of the best warriors we're going to see in this series. Sure. He's not the best. Kristen Cole beats him a bunch of times in Fire and Blood. But I think when you think of Game of Thrones with those, like, I don't want to say charming, but like the intelligent manipulations and plans, like edginess, he's going to be a fascinating character. I don't know that he'll be my favorite. I agree with Damon does a lot of awful stuff, but he's going to be interesting. He'll never be boring.
Definitely interesting.
We can put it
as long as it's interesting, I'm fine with it. That's what I'm after. Interesting. I wonder who else we'll meet in this trailer.
Yeah. Let's carry on and see who's going to pop up next.
Ooh, some doors. So
taking control of the streets there. And then here's Rhaenys Targaryen, played by Eve Best. The queen who never was. So she was someone who was in line to be potentially sit on the Iron Throne before Rhaenyra was around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, back when her father Jaehaerys, her grandfather Jaehaerys. We haven't seen Jaehaerys.
Yeah, her father's Baelon. Get it right, nerd. Yeah, sorry, go off.
Her father's Aemon. There's so many Targaryens in this show.
Yeah.
And these aren't even the ones in the show. Yeah. So her father was Aemon. He died. And basically, Jaehaerys, who was the king, made the choice to make his younger son, Baelon, the next in line for the throne instead of his older son's daughter, Rhaenys. Right.
Baelon's her uncle, not father.
Yes. It's really, it's a twisty family tree. But here we see her kind of recounting that, because she not only was she passed over then, but then Baelon died because it's Westeros and everybody dies. So, and except Jaehaerys, who lived to be wicked old. So he had to call the Great Council of 101 AC, which we can step forward to the next scene. We think it's that. Yeah.
Well, that shot is nice. That shot is very kind of early Daenerys Targaryen of Rhaenyra there.
Yeah, and here the we shot have of some Rhaenyra darkness. Kind of looking. So I lied. This isn't the council. This is the painted table.
Yes, lit by a billion candles. What do you think of the photography? Can I ask you that? Because Game of Thrones, the more it went on, the darker it got. And it seems to still be going to that direction. What sick obsession do the DPs have with... not being the table does look awesome. I agree. It looks very, I like rivulets and the candles looks very nice. I can barely see the human people in it. I can't really see the walls.
Yeah.
What is going on? Why won't they get a freaking floodlight in there?
Yeah. So I wonder I was just reading about The Long Night the other day and some of the people who talked about making it, talking about like having realistic lighting. Like when you watch Helm's Deep from the Two Towers, it's lit like basically with flood lamps. But with Game of Thrones, they always tried to do it where if you're shooting at night, it's going to look like it's nighttime. I think it's interesting. The photography is kind of dark, though. Like I always felt like late Game of Thrones got dark because the dead were coming. It's atmospheric and dark and closing in on you. But it seems like this show's kind of starting there. And I don't know if that's supposed to be like, we're at an earlier time period. There are less candles now. So they don't have electricity yet. Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, they just carried on the style. So I think that's a curious thing to say the least.
It is. And I'm calling utter bullshit on the whole, like, you know, just like it's more realistic. Okay, it's more realistic. Like, it's for them. No, if these characters were actually doing this, they wouldn't have a fill light over, like, out of reach. Sure. But
yeah,
you need, the audience needs to be able to see what's happening. We're going to assume, like, if the human eye, if we were in that room, we would see more of that. Like, our eye would actually see the details that the camera does not pick up because there is not enough light. You need to pump up. And I'm not a filmmaker or whatever, but I understand that you need to pump up more light into a room so the camera sees with the same eye that, like, the human eye does. Yes, Kubrick did do it in Barry Lyndon, and it did look better than this because Kubrick like told his characters, okay, don't move a freaking inch. Otherwise, there's not enough light to like for us to actually notice. Kubrick was weird about this stuff. But I mean, as much time as they have to make this show, they don't have 30,000 Kubrick takes time. So just buy some fill lights. Just that's all I'm asking. Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. It's definitely fair. The lighting is one of the things I'm a little nervous about with this show. I think generally really optimistic, but I kind of want to see what they do with the lighting. In the background of this scene, even though it's very dark, you can kind of glimpse Reyness, who was in the last scene. She's here too. She's one of Rhaenyra's advisors. It's not clear if this is after everything starts going down. I agree with you. I hope she should. She deserves to be. So let's step forward to the next shot that we've got lined up.
August 21st. That's only a couple of months.
August 21st, yeah, right around the corner. So we talked about the Great Council a second ago. Pretty sure that's what this is.
Yeah,
it's when Jaehaerys was real old and both his sons had died. He needed to pick who would be his successor. So basically, like, 1,000 people showed up at Harrenhal to like have a king's moot.
That'll be cool. So we see Harrenhal.
Yeah. And it also lets us know, like, I feel like they've got to be doing a flashback if they're showing this. Like, Rhaenys telling her story. She got passed over again here. And her son, Laenor Velaryon, who eventually marries Rhaenyra. Laenor was the second in the running. It was Laenor and Viserys, and everyone picked Viserys. But that said, let's step forward to the next shot that has been sparking some internet debate, the box. Any thoughts about what could be in the box?
What's in the box? Gwyneth Paltrow's head? I don't really know. Why don't you tell us, Daniel? Because I feel like you know. You might have a good idea.
I have some thoughts about what's in the box. So there were 14 claimants at this great council who wanted the throne. Three of them were from Essos. One of the people from Essos brought bags of gold and a dwarf elephant to try and woo everyone to his cause. Hopefully there's not a dwarf elephant in that box. My best guess for this is that the Velaryons also, they're the richest house in Westeros. They brought a bunch of wealth and were very open-handed in their efforts on behalf of their son, Laenor.
Good old buy-in votes.
So I think this is good old buy-in votes. No one's even being sneaky about it in Westeros. They're parading a box, most likely filled with gold, right down the hall to say, hey, we're super wealthy. Maybe pick one of us as king. So, yeah, I think that's what's in there.
I hope the elephant shows up and they can be like, if you vote me king, you get to pet Stampy. But if you don't, I'm taking it back to Essos. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it never really says what happened to the elephant in Fire and Blood. It just says, like, this person brought bags of gold and a dwarf elephant. The gold did them good and the elephant did them none. And, like, that's the last mention it gets.
Nice.
I did.
Well, if I were there, okay, I would have voted for the elephant. Okay, go ahead.
Right? I would have too. Yeah, let's carry on from here. Meet another one of our players in this older Game of Thrones.
So here we have Alicent Hightower. I believe, is this Olivia Cooke or Emily Carey playing her here? You know?
This is Emily Carey, who's playing the younger Alicent
Hightower. Yeah. God, so dark. Yeah, she marries King Viserys Targaryen. One of those, like, you know, like, Rhaenyra's mom dies and the king is like, time to remarry. How about a woman half my age? That sounds fun, which happens sometimes. So Rhaenyra and Alicent end up being stepmother and daughter, but really more like big sister, little sister, because they're so close in age. And I cannot get over how little I can see, but I'm
sure it's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark.
And yeah, this is great. This is a wedding. So like it's a dark wedding. And yeah, this is another moment where I'm wondering, where is Jaehaerys? I don't even think we've gotten a casting announcement for him, but that's the whole reason that Alicent is around. She is Otto, her father, brings her to King's Landing in a very schemer way to basically care for old King Jaehaerys until he dies. And then Viserys thinks, hey, that young lady who's caring for my grandfather,
you get it,
maybe
right,
she'd make a good second wife. So yeah, this is, it's some nice symbolism of her whispering in his ear, because that's exactly what she's going to do when she's queen.
Oh, I thought she's kissing him. Maybe it's both. She can, maybe it's both.
Hey, I'm going to kiss you now.
That's the whisper.
That's it. All right, let's carry on.
Got an egg.
So this, just wanted to point this out. Super quick shot of this egg in the vat. It just shows how normalized dragon stuff is. They've got these this little egg warmer. That's like what, you know, what you use to make Easter eggs. They're just like, nope, warming our dragon eggs with it.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
Super cat.
It's cute. Yeah. Let's carry on.
Oh, and there we got Rhaenyra and her, not Rhaenyra, sorry, Alicent and her father, a Schemen. Of course they are. So basically, Schemen. When Viserys dies, the big thing is Rhaenyra wants to ascend the throne as his eldest child and heir, but Alicent, King Viserys' second wife, would much rather her son Aegon ascend the throne instead. And her father, yes, Otto Hightower, Hand of the King, is one of her big advisors, a great schemer in his own right, and obviously wants, yep, his bloodline to be in the throne. And then the realm bleeds. And
yep,
Kubrick turns over in his grave over the director of photography, losing like two candles to light these people.
Yeah, Otto is kind of, I for whatever reason, I just keep thinking of Tywin Lannister when I look at him. His schemes cause like a solid 80% of the problems. Like he is the one who suggested Rhaenyra be named heir. Then when his daughter marries the king and then has sons with the king, the rule is the Viserys still wants Rhaenyra to be heir right up until he dies. And then Otto and Alicent afterwards, Otto hates Daemon, hates him with a passion, and basically does anything he can to keep him away from the throne. And by that point, Daemon is cozy with Rhaenyra. So Otto says, no, we can't let the heir, Rhaenyra be heir. Let's have it be Aegon.
He's a little more petty than Tywin. And Tywin was not an unpetty man. I think Otto is a bit more avaricious. I mean, but so is Tywin. Tywin's cooler than Otto. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I think we can leave it at that. Yeah. All right, who's next?
Or what is next?
Or what?
Oh, we got the Valyrians. Again,
yeah,
I imagine they're wearing just most colorful, beautiful clothes. Who could tell? Yeah, the Valyrians, very important family. The richest family of the time. Lannisters eat your heart out. Yep. We got Steve Toussaint as Patriarch Corlys Velaryon. He's married to Rhaenys Targaryen, whenever it was, Eve Bess, Anna's right. They're their kids. There's that problem brother off to the left who causes all the issues that every family has one. This shot is really cool. Yes. I just wish it were lighter.
Yep. And then we've got Laenor in the middle, Laena on the right. Yeah. And then after this shot, our next shot that we're going to look at, clues us in about the times. So Matt's, we're going to just gauge everything by Matt Smith's hair in this show. So Daemon, one day we'll call him Daemon. It's fascinating to me, the time frame, the time scale, like we see events. So that Harrenhal shot, that's 101 AC. We're going to see a shot later in this trailer that is from 120 AC. So we're looking at like 19 years in just season one, however they plan to do, which is, you know, Game of Thrones covered months per season.
That's true.
I'm really curious how they're going
to. And this first season will be like more than the rest. By the way, Nicole is a great question that will allow me to show off my historical knowledge. Are any of these new characters based on real historical figures or wars like Game of Thrones with the War of the Roses? Yes. Nicole, this conflict is basically based on the Anarchy, a period of British history where there was a battle for the throne between Princess Maud, who was basically Rhaenyra, and then her relative, who I forget his name. But and then it kind of ends the same way, too. Oh, it's considered the bloodiest period in English history. It sucked.
Wow.
It was intense. I forget what the families were. I really do. But it's called Google the Anarchy sometime. That is the period this thing is based on. And Princess Maud is more or less Rhaenyra. And there are some other one-to-ones, too.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that. I am going to Google the anarchy after this show.
The anarchy.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it is. Another idea of like a powerful woman named Maud. And then there's Maud.
Yeah.
Who's going to take over the country and destroy everybody.
Yep. Don't underestimate Maud. She has no patience for your nonsense.
All right. Moving on.
All right. Let's step to our next one. Yeah.
Oh, I do like that shot. So this is probably Rhaenyra and Laenor, right? Wedding, political marriage. He's gay. She's the heir to the throne, apparent. I love a good Jane Austen dance scene where the like passions are getting played out on the dance floor and they're like dancing, but they're also talking and they're dancing and they're thinking. And so this looks like a Jane Austen Pride and Prejudice moment with a Game of Thrones coat of paint on. So it's like the dancing could turn deadly any minute. Like that's what we're adding to the Jane Austen thing, the dancing bit.
Yes. So you're saying it's okay. This scene is dark. That's the Game of Thrones.
I wish it were lighter, but I do like the shot anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Same. All right, let's carry on because it's, it's not all good in weddings in Game of Thrones land. Okay.
Sorry.
So now this is a funeral. This is a funeral on Driftmark. So again, mild spoilers here. We're going to talk about people who die, not our major players. But this is the funeral for Laena Velaryon. And the shot immediately after this, you can see that casket has a, and it's got a woman's face, that coffin.
And you know how we can tell a woman's face? Because I've actually liked to see it. Just saying. Okay, go on.
Yeah, definitely. So Laena, at this point, she's married to Daemon Targaryen. His first wife, who was one of the Arryns, it might have been one of the Royces. His first wife lived in the Vale. She passed away. Daemon remarried to Laena Velaryon. She passed away in childbirth to twins. So this is 120 AC. When we were talking about the time scale passing, this is years after the scene that we just saw. And things have changed a little bit, as we'll see in the next shot.
It's fun to see everyone together. Oh, there's Rhaenyra. Oh, she's looking mad. There's Queen Maud. Yeah. Don't mess with her.
Don't mess with Queen Maud. Yeah. So we've got Rhaenyra here. And then in the next shot after this, it's going to show Alicent.
Olivia
giving
Cook,
us that nice Alicent framing.
Yes.
Yeah. The two leading ladies of the dance.
Staring
and behind Alicent.
Down.
Yeah. Behind her is Kristen Cole, who is the perfect kind of, microcosm for this struggle. He was like Rhaenyra's best friend, sworn shield, apparently.
Maybe lover, we don't know.
Yeah, the book kind of spins it with multiple accounts to simulate actual historical accounts. Supposedly, Rhaenyra tried to sleep with Kristen. He's a knight of the King's Guard and wasn't about it, and rejected her, and then they became bitter enemies.
He tried Alicent's to get with her or he asked her to run away with him and she said no, and then the better answer is that we don't know.
Yep.
We just don't know.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see what the show decides to go with for that, if they show it, if they leave it ambiguous.
I love the energy of the shot. I love people staring at the ground. Hey, if you know something, for Fire and Blood, so I'm guessing they're cutting the character of Mushroom, because I'm seeing him nowhere here.
Can only hope.
Yeah, I don't see a way to incorporate Game of Thrones famously had Peter Dinklage as Tyrion Lannister, an incredibly intelligent dwarf who was underestimated and rose in the world. Fire and Blood has a dwarf named Mushroom who is a court jester, basically, and is just like, I guess he's smarter than he lets on too, but he's a bit more of a caricature and he's like kind of the chronicler of the whole thing. But I'm gonna go ahead and guess they lost Mushroom. Not as good as a role.
Yeah.
As Tyrion. What?
No, definitely not. Yeah. We'll see. It's funny with Mushroom because he's basically like, I was there for all the important events because I was the court jester, but you never really know if he actually was because he just makes so much stuff up. But yeah, let's carry on. Let's keep cruising because you were right. The time, it doesn't fly.
Of course I was right. Yeah.
It's true. So who do we think this one is? This is kind of one of the trailer's ambiguous shots here.
I think it's a my My guess is it's Aegon Targaryen, who is Alicent's and King Viserys' eldest son, who she wants to go to the throne, who's a bit like of a lazy, weird layabout who, like, kind of, I don't know, gets drunk and frequents brothels and just causes trouble. And it's kind of like that embarrassing kid, bit of adult.
Yep.
I think he's getting dragged back to the Iron Throne room by the guards after, I don't know, going too far. They have to, like, pull him out of something. I don't know why. I have like a whole story here for this shot, but that's what I think. I think the guards are bringing him back to an angry mom and dad.
Yeah. We're like, I think you're probably right. Time? So I have a theory that we're not really going to see the Dance of the Dragons start this season. I think we might, and the finale might leave it off as now the war is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
Aegon II.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's a kind of a layabout. He's drunk all the time. I think we're going to see him basically be that for most of this season, so that it'll be kind of it'll really twist that knife when Rhaenyra, who's clearly going to be qualified to be queen, when people try to pass over her for this guy.
Yeah. For him? So, really?
For him?
I mean, Rhaenyra,
this dude?
Rhaenyra has her problems, but like, it's just not him.
Yeah.
As Dana says, or young Daemon. It could be Daemon. I think Daemon will be more of a kid throughout this. Well, that's not true because it has an older actor form. That's possible too. Daemon also gets into trouble.
Or does she mean Daemon Targaryen? Or Matt Smith Daemon? Or is there another littler Daemon? There are too many there are a lot of Targaryens.
There are so many. I wonder if they'll change some names, honestly. Like for all the Daemon and Aemon and... Oh yeah, sorry. I was talking about Aemon Targaryen might be a kid, but they did cast an old director for him. And Julie, I'm happy for it. There will be 10 episodes. This is a proper thing. They're not cutting it down, so that'll be nice.
Yeah. So one thing with this, the only reason I don't think this is Daemon, Dana, is because Daemon ends up running the Gold Cloaks. It's even though I'm sure he gets dragged back to the keep plenty of times, it's hard to imagine them manhandling him quite like this. Unless this is the Kingsguard. That's the only way I could see that going down where this is Daemon.
Or they do manhandle him and he's like, one day I'm going to rule all of you. You'll see. And they're like,
that's right.
As if that'll ever happen. And then it does. It's funny. But
I could get behind that. Let's step to our next shot. Kristen, he's beating somebody up. We don't know who. I just want to pause here to highlight this. He seems like a good guy, but is he?
Kristen Cole? Oh, he's one of the more ambiguous characters from the book. Like, you really do not know his motives exactly. So I like the idea that he's a shit gibbon and that I like him seducing Rhaenyra and then her saying no more than the other way around. I like him being a bit of a angry incel who felt rejected and then joins the other side by Rhaenyra. But I guess they could make him like a noble-hearted guy. Again, they have to decide how complicated he is and like really dive into it. Oh, this is such an interesting writing exercise. Like, I just hope they're brave. I hope they make the brave choices to make people really interesting and complex and contradictory even within themselves. Because he could be a conflicted fan favorite. Honestly, I think that more than Daemon, because he's so twisted up inside. People love that.
And he's supposed to be virtuous. He's the Kingsguard. But like, we do know. So aside from the ambiguous things he did, there are some things he does that are not virtuous that are pretty clear in the books. Let's step to our next shot here. Because Kristen's pretty interesting. This blew my mind today. This shot. Because earlier, you know, blood coming through hands. It's like, is somebody getting stabbed? What's going on? I realized, so this is a hand fasting, a marriage ceremony. It's actually two hands tied together with a cord and the blood's coming out. So this is most likely Daemon and Rhaenyra, who we see in the following shot too. They get married in secret because they relatives and Rhaenyra's father does not approve.
Man, so that is like, so Daemon's going to have like, the woman from three the Veil, wives. Lena, I guess three wives in one season. Busy. Okay.
Busy. Yeah. I imagine they're going to use that to paint his character in some kind of way, because this shot. So Rhaenyra had kind of feelings toward Daemon since she was little, because he was the opposite of her father in every way. He was dashing and a warrior and rode his dragon all the time. And Viserys was kind of like a jolly King Robert type of king. This happens the same year that Laena Velaryon, who had the funeral we saw, and again, mild spoiler here, Rhaenyra's husband, Laenor, both die in the same year. It's kind of left ambiguous if Daemon had a part in Laenor dying. It's possible he does. I'm really curious to see what the show does there. But they got married like right after. So
yeah, one of those suspiciously quick new marriages after the husband dies always raises an eyebrow. But you know, when an uncle and a niece love each other very much, nothing to keep them apart.
That a Westeros story. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's carry on. Let's carry on through here.
That looks so like fully them. Lord of the Rings. That looks like, I mean, okay, A, I can't see anything, but that looks like Elrond and Galadriel. But it's not. It's Daemon Targaryen and his niece Rhaenyra Targaryen just getting married. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we mentioned it's suspicious about whether he was involved in the one murder. There are actually two murders. Her lover and her husband both die at the same time. So
exactly.
We'll see what they
Nicole,
do.
Nicole, I agree with you. They look like elves. Yes.
They do. Dana on YouTube asks, does anyone know the budget of this first season of House of the Dragon?
Yeah, we do.
Love budgets.
Dana, this was made for under $20 million, which was the weirdly passive-aggressive way HBO awarded it to some outlet when they're trying to claim that they're saving so much money on it. It's made for around $20 million an episode. It's a lot of money. There was no budget for lights, but they have a lot of budget for dragons, which do cost a lot of money, so I understand.
Yes. So under $200 million on the cheap.
$200 million. Jeez, for one season of TV. What an age we live in.
Yeah, totally. Julie asked earlier, too. They have not started filming season two that we're aware of yet.
I don't think so, no.
Better get on it.
I think they're actually waiting to see if it does okay. Like, they have...
They are, yes.
They're not Amazon. That they can't just go to Jeff Bezos's house, lift up a couch cushion, grab a billion, then just toss it at TV. They actually have to see if this will make a return for them.
Yeah, I think the latest thing we had from that was Casey Bloys, the HBO programming president, saying there's a good chance it'll get a season two. But... they haven't renewed it yet, technically. But yeah, let's keep on stepping.
I love light so much.
Okay. So just briefly here, we talk, right? Look at that face. We talk a lot about Rhaenyra and Alicent being the two drivers, like their division being the drivers of the Dance of the Dragons. Mm-hmm. Just as much, it's about Daemon and Otto. They're kind of the one whispering in each of Otto for Alicent and Daemon for Rhaenyra. They have just as bad of a rivalry, and it's really even more like Otto despises Daemon. Just wanted to point that out.
That's good. Here I like, the that. Gold I like that.
This is King's Landing.
Spread around the conflict.
Obviously. Yeah. All right. Oh, speaking of spreading around the conflict, let's look at our next shot here.
Come on, girl. Yeah, this one's good. This is, so just as Alicent and Rhaenyra have a rivalry, their kids also hate each other because their parents taught them, because trauma is generational. And at one point, Rhaenyra's kids get into a fight with Alicent's kid, Aemond. Rhaenyra's one kid, I think it's Lucerys, slashes the eye out of Aemond's head. And then Alicent goes to her husband, the king, who is the father of the kid who lost the eye and the grandfather of the kid who did it. And she's like, you should take out his eye in repayment. Oh, it's so Shakespearean. And then Viserys is like, no, let's get along. No, he doesn't want to do anything drastic. And this is new. So in the book, that's all we heard. In the show, I was going to go right for Rhaenyra. It's like, fine, you won't do it. I'll do it myself. And work. But so, yeah.
And she's
there is some bad blood here.
Totally. And this bad blood is going to spill over into next season. The kids, just like in Game of Thrones, the kids and the adults, they all drive the conflict for sure. Alicent is using the cat's paw dagger here that someone tried to kill Bran with in the first season of Game of Thrones.
Which feels dumb to me. That feels like fan service to me. I don't really know why there's a cat's paw dagger there.
It's an interesting choice because, that is not in Fire and Blood. That is a show choice that's being made. I could get behind it being like, look at the cursed lineage of this Valyrian steel dagger. It'll kind of depend on what they do with it. It does feel a little like fan service.
It feels like a little wink just for kicks. I don't really like it, but it's fine.
I think if there's going to be any scene that can have the wink, maybe it's this one, because this whole conflict, it really reminds me of what happens in the Riverlands in Game of Thrones season one, where Lady gets killed, where the kids are fighting,
Ooh.
And then Lady dies and Cersei demands that Arya's direwolf be killed. That Lady gets killed instead of, because Arya's got away. This is the same kind of deal. And it comes out that the reason Lucerys slashed the eye out of Aemond is because he called them all bastards, basically. He said they're strong, alluding to them being Rhaenyra's illegitimate children. And Viserys gets so mad that he basically says, whatever, this is all dumb. Let's all get along. And then eventually he dies and everyone says, of course, we weren't going to get along. We all hate each other.
Yeah, the one guy who with power who didn't want us to kill each other is dead. Looks like the killing's on. It's basically how it goes.
House of the Dragon. That's their tagline.
August all right. 21st, baby.
I think August 21st. I think we've got one more shot in this trailer to look at. You want to look at it?
Ooh,
the final shot?
Oh, come on. Yeah, I mean, they had to have another dragon shot. You got dragon right in your name, baby. You better deliver some dragons.
That's right. Do you
know which one this is?
We do not. I'm not sure which one this is, but I think this is on Dragonstone. My initial thought was, oh, here's Daemon in the dragon pit in King's Landing. But it kind of looks like there's obsidian on the walls on the left there next to his head. And in the shot right before this, where he has the torch on the ground, it looks almost like he's tracking this dragon. And there are wild dragons that live in caves on Dragonstone.
That's true.
So I think this is him looking for one of those wild dragons. Like there's one called Sheep Stealer, I think. Like some of them have ridiculous names because they're basically like folk legends. They fly around the island and do what they want because they're dragons. So yeah, I don't know which one this is.
That's a cool idea.
Is another one.
I like that. I mean, and again, just like think. So this is a time where Game of Thrones was dragons are dead. There are so many dragons. There are just wild ones that just running around like that. That's how many dragons there are. And they were playing into the plot too.
Yep. There is a period during this war where one of the factions basically says anyone who can mount one of these wild dragons will immediately become a lord and join the fight. So
they
the
have
wild dragons,
more dragons than they have riders. The riders are very picky. So exactly. They're like, we need a freaking air force. So just we're desperate.
Yeah.
Anybody want to hop on this thing and see what happens? We'll give you some gold.
Yes. I suppose the other thing this could be, I can't tell how red this dragon looks. It doesn't look especially red to me. It could be Caraxes, which is Daemon's dragon that is notoriously grumpy.
And they have a
like
fight.
It's Ryder. Yeah.
It's Ryder.
Yeah. But yeah.
And
House of
the
Dragon.
CGI does look pretty good, Nicole. It does. It looks good. And God, I don't like the darkness. I don't like it. But the show itself, I think, looks very good. And I'm looking for, we're back. There's a lot of trailer.
We're back.
August 21st. Yeah, it's really happening. This is a big swing. They got a lot riding on this. We'll see what happens, man. We'll see whether this is a success they need it to be or whether it'll fail and signal the end of the fantasy boom that's been riding for about a decade now. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, that would be the red weddingest twist of all if this somehow killed the fantasy boom. I think this show's going to be good. I like it's HBO. When's the last time HBO put a show out where you're like, this is eye rollingly bad?
We could go there if we really wanted to.
Okay, that's
they put out
fair.
Bad stuff.
I
watched
fair.
DMZ with Rosario Dawson.
I forgot about that.
I guess that was HBO Max technically. Although, you know what?
Yeah.
I still don't know if House of the Dragon is HBO and HBO Max or just HBO Max. Because they're selling with HBO Max because they want people interested in that streaming service. But I think they want it to be on HBO as well. And it is one episode per week. So I think it's on both. But they're just putting HBO Max branding on everything. So folks sign up is my guess.
Yeah, I agree. I can't imagine this and Westworld. I can't imagine that they are not going to put them on HBO. But you're right. The branding is only HBO Max. So we'll see what happens there.
Honestly, Daniel, we talk so much about this. I'm not sure we really have time for what are we watching or the lightning round. I mean, we have so many important things to do. I got to pick my kids up from the sitter. I mean, it's just like we got to go and do this stuff.
It's true. I've got a dog that needs walking. He doesn't care about dragons.
But thanks for watching with us, everybody. This is exciting. This is a big deal. You know, so we want to take a lot of time to go over this in detail. And we hope you enjoyed it. But
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more of our standard dog and pony show for you. In fact, we're here every single Wednesday.
Is that right?
At the Winter is Coming Facebook page. Yeah. On the Winter is Coming Facebook page and the Winter is Coming YouTube page, talking all things, you know, sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV. We're also available at 4 p.m. CST. We're also available on podcast form. You can download us wherever podcasts are available. Google Play, iTunes. Thanks for watching, everybody. And House of the Dragon, man, it's happening.
Woo! It's happening. It's coming. Less than, what, 3 months? Just over 3 months.
Winter is coming again. Goodbye.
Take care.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.